إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cherisher, the sustainer, the provider, the one who created life and death. We pray for him and we ask him for his mercy, favors and forgiveness that we need so much. And we tell him, Ya Allah, we admit and confess that you are the only owner of the attributes of greatness. You are the only owner of the attributes of power and greatness and glory. They all belong to you, Ya Allah. And if we make a mistake for any reason, it is not because we deny you any of these attributes of greatness. If we make a sin, it's not that we deny you any of those attributes of glory and power. It is because of the weaknesses we have. It is because of the temptations that are so powerful that will drag us into a state of mind of forgetfulness to you and we make the mistake. Ya Allah, forgive us. It is because of the mood swings that we go through and the pressures and the attractions of life. Forgive us and help us conquer our own temptations and conquer the evil attractions that attract us to disobey you and cross your boundaries. Ya Allah, He is the most generous. He says, My slaves, if you make one good deed, I reward you 10 times as much. And if you make one bad deed, I only record one negative bad deed on you. My slave, I created you and you worship other than me. My slaves, I provide to you and you thank other than me. My slaves, which Lord is more merciful than me? Which God is more generous and thankful to his slaves than me? Worship me, follow me, come to me. I want your best. I want to give you the everlasting happy life in Jannah. The life where is no more headache, no more diseases, and no more hardships. The everlasting happy life. I want it for you. Perform yourself, conduct yourself, prove yourself worthy of this Jannah and my mercy. And I will take you into Jannah and take you into my mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a specific representation on this planet earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with the tools and means that we exactly need in order to do our job and establish His representations on earth. Establish His moral values on earth as governing values and principles. And then he created the Satan to challenge every single quality we claim for ourselves. Every single claim that we say that we are followers of this moral value of Allah, or we represent that moral value of Allah, the Satan will come and challenge us to show the truth about us. So we see our own truth, we see ourselves in the mirror, and we have room to correct ourselves, number one. And number two, fairness will be and justice will be established where people are not left to be deceived by them, by their own selves, to deceive themselves. And they are not left to be deceived by the Satan without having any kind of feedback to correct themselves. One of the tricks that the Satan uses to take us away from the path of Allah is the Satan comes and says, where is Allah? There is no such a thing. Where is Allah? If he is up there, let him touch your back. Where is he? Why can't we see him? And the latest thing we hear is that people we say we belong to the show me state. And this is not one of the states in the United States. The show me state, they basically are saying that when somebody talks to them about Allah, when somebody argues with them about Allah, they tell them, show me. We want to see where is Allah. before we can believe. And this poses an important question, an important concept that we need to ask for ourselves. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is limiting His exposure to us? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not physically exposing Himself to us? Indeed, out of His wisdom and mercy, He's providing us with the level of exposure that we exactly need to perform our job. Not more, not less. Any more exposure is going to be a liability against us, or it is going to destroy our physical existence. It's not going to be of any help. And any less exposure is going to make it almost impossible for us to do our job on earth, which is representing the moral values of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Let's go through the Quran and learn what happens if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more exposure. There was one of the human beings that Allah has created who was given in a unique favor nobody else was ever given. Prophet Musa was able to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And he received the revelations also like other prophets. One time he was so much in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the level that led him to ask Allah to be able to see Allah explicitly, physically look at Allah and see Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you will not be able to stand that. You will not get what you want. However, in order for Allah to teach him a lesson, because he's a prophet, Allah told him, look at this mountain right next to you. I'm going to expose myself to the mountain and look what will happen. As soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed himself to the mountain, the huge, big, humongous mountain made of very strong rock, the mountain crushed into dust and disappeared in a blink of an eye. And Musa alayhi salam, as Allah reported in the Quran, وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah reported this surah for us. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Musa, when he saw this scene, when he saw this power, it was like he was electrocuted. And he was shocked and he passed out. When he woke up and gained his conscious back, he said, glory be to you, Allah. I repent. Please forgive me for such an ignorant request. Not only ignorant request, but also unauthorized request. Then Allah continues to give him the lesson. قَالَ يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي وَبِكَلَامِي فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ O Musa, I have blessed you with favors over all other human beings by giving you revelations, the Torah. And I have further blessed you with special miracles over all other prophets, and I have given you a direct way to talk to me. Take whatever I have given to you and be thankful. Don't ask, don't make such an ignorant request. You're supposed to know better than that. If one of us makes such a request, we are ignorant. We don't have the same level of knowledge or guidance from Allah like Prophet Musa. But when a prophet makes such a request, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him that you are supposed to know better than that. This is what will happen if we are exposed directly, explicitly, physically to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we even expose to miracles, miracles that are beyond and above the natural law or the laws of nature, then this will harm us as well. This will be a liability against us. And this will impose on us a level of accountability and a level of tolerance that we cannot rise up to. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the stories, various stories of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah about the people who asked Prophet Isa to send a table to them, to ask Allah to send a table to them from heaven. Prophet Isa told them, be careful what you ask for. Be careful. Once you get to see the miracle with your own eyes, then you will be held accountable to a higher standard. And you will not enjoy as much tolerance as the ones who didn't see the miracle. Allah gives the miracle with one hand and gives higher accountability with the other hand that comes with the miracle. You be careful. Are you going to be able to rise up to this level? Fear Allah. Then they further insisted and they say, نريد أن نأكل منها وتطمئن قلوبنا ونعلم أن صدقتنا ونكون عليها من الشاهدين. We want to eat from the table and we want to see the miracle with our own eyes, so we develop that feeling, beautiful, sweet feeling of faith. And then it's a further confirmation that you didn't fabricate anything and we make sure that you are a prophet. So Allah said, fine. But my condition is, إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْهُمْ فَإِنِّي مُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am going to give you the table. However, if you commit an action that implies denial to one of my attributes of greatness, afterwards, you are going to receive a punishment that no other human being has ever received and will ever receive. Because you're exposed to the miracle. So, the room of tolerance, there are two names of Allah. As-Sabur, the most patient, and Al-Halim, the most tolerant. These, the amount of patience and the amount of tolerance that we get to enjoy from Allah is based on the fact that we're not so exposed explicitly to Allah. Once we get to see a miracle, the level of tolerance and the level of patience that we qualify for goes down. We are held accountable to a higher responsibility. And this is exactly what Allah told them. And indeed, they made a mistake. They have failed miserably. And this is why Allah is not showing us miracles. Allah is saying, the problem is not lack of my exposure. The problem is not lack of Quran. The problem is not lack of miracles. The problem is lack of interest. That's where the problem is. But don't you, if it's a lack of exposure, I give you more exposure. But what happens when I give you more exposure? Look at the people of Al-Ma'idah. Look at the people of Thamud. And Allah in Surah Al-Isra says, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَكَفَرُوا بِهَا فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. Allah said, look at the example of people of Thamud. The reason I am not sending a miracle is because it is going to be a liability against you and it's not going to help you. Don't you think, don't focus on that direction, because that's the wrong direction. It's not lack of miracles is your problem. We have given the she camel to the people of Thamud, where she was providing milk to the entire village. And they still denied my attributes of greatness. And they still denied my right of submission, that they have to be submissive to me. They denied my attributes of greatness, and they were destroyed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given so many miracles to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, what was the conclusion? The result was people confused him for Allah. And because he had so much powers and miracles, and they ended up making him part of divinity, making him as though he is either Allah or the son of Allah or the reflection of Allah or the image of Allah or whatever those faith or fictitious representations or fictitious perception of Isa alayhi salam that exists today. So more miracles to Prophet Isa, look what happened. More miracles to Thamud, look what happened. More miracles to the people of the table, look what happened. That is the problem. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further tells us that if I increase the level of exposure beyond the miracles, then you are not going to be permitted to disobey Allah when you can see Allah eye to eye. Let's assume hypothetically for the purpose of explanation that you can disobey Allah when you see Him eye to eye, which is impossible. No one, the glory of Allah and the power and might of Allah is so great that you will never be able to disobey Him while seeing Him or looking at Him eye to eye. But let's say you can. Would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you? Or would we have a room of tolerance at that point? Or Allah would immediately strike us and destroy us and give us a punishment right on the spot? No one will be permitted to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he or she is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and eye to eye. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in limiting His level of exposure, He's doing us a favor. He's giving us the exposure that we exactly need. More will make us liable to a higher standard. Less, we will not be able to defeat our temptations. This is exact. Allah is wise. The calculated level of exposure that we need is exactly the most wise, the most effective level of exposure.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me give you an example to show you the veils that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to cover himself. Let's say you have a child, a son, at the age of college. And you send your son to attend the University of California. And every month, you send your son at the month of September. And every month, you send your son a check to cover his expenses. You send him the check of September. He doesn't call you to say, thank you, father, for the check. He ignores you. Well, maybe he's busy settling down. Give him the benefit of the doubt. You send him the check in October. He's still not calling you to say thank you for the check. You're really getting angry. But hey, man, let's wait for November. You send him the check of November. He's still not calling you to say thank you, father, for the check. He continues to ignore you. Subhanallah. And this is why, by the way, we pray. The prayer is a phone call to Allah to thank him for the check that he sends us. To what is equivalent to the checks he sends us. Now you call your son and you say, oh my son, how come you're ignoring your father? How come you don't call your father to say thank you? He says, dad, I don't see you giving me the check. I see the male person knocking on my door, giving me the check. So I hold his hand and I kiss his head. I said, thank you, Mr. male person, for the check. You will probably be so angry and say, wait a minute. You thank the male person and you ignore me? Wait a minute. The male person is nothing but a physical means through which I am sending you the check. But it is my money. I am the one who signed the check. It's coming from my bank. It's my money, my check, my favors, my blessings. And you thank the male person. And this person says, sorry, dad. What I saw with my own eyes, I never saw you giving me the money. I saw the male person delivering the money for me. And indeed, this is what we do to Allah. This is why he says, أَخْلُقُ وَيُعْبَدُ غَيْرِي. I create and you worship others. أَرْزُقُ وَيُشْكَرُ غَيْرِي. I provide and you thank others. I provide and you thank the male person. You further continue to tell your son that my son, the male person, is just a veil covering me. You see the male person, that's what you see, but that's a veil. I am behind that veil. I am the mastermind. I am the one who sent the check through the male person. So I'm the one who deserves to be thanked. And indeed, this is one of the veils that Allah uses to hide himself, which is called the veil of natural laws. The veil of natural laws is covering behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah further covers the Jannah with another veil, called the veil of homework, the veil of sacrifice, the veil of working hard to qualify ourselves for this Jannah. And he covers hellfire with a veil called the veil of temptations. The veil. Because if Allah will unveil himself, unveil hellfire, unveil Jannah, then we will have no free will. Tell me for the sake of Allah, if we can see the unseen world right now physically and explicitly, would we have the free will that we have? Let's imagine for a second that you can just hear the people who can scream in the graves because they are being punished. And you are about to do something haram, like drinking an alcohol or something like that. And as soon as you're about to do it, you hear the scream. What is going to happen to you? You're going to be shocked, throw the glass and run away from the crime or the sin that you're about to make. In order for us to be able to do good, to do sins, in order for us to give in the room of tolerance and patience, Allah hides from us the angels. Allah hides his exposure, hides the hellfire, hides Jannah from us. And we remember the hadith of Jibreel when he went and looked at the Jannah, when Allah created the Jannah and he asked him to go and look, he came back and he said, oh Allah, it's wow! It's wonderful. It's gorgeous. No one of your slaves will ever, ever hear about this Jannah without working so hard to earn it and go there. Allah says, then I am going to cover it with a veil called the veil of temptations. Now Jibreel, go look. Jibreel went and looked at Jannah, covered by the veil of temptations, and he came so disappointed. And he said, oh Allah, I don't think any one of your slaves will be able to make it. I'm sorry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go and look at the Jannah, covered with a veil of homework, covered with a veil of responsibilities, covered with a veil of work that has to be done. And Jibreel looked at this veil and he came back to Allah and he said, I don't think any one of your slaves is going to make it. On the other hand, when he created the hellfire and sent Jibreel to examine it, he looked at it and he came back to Allah and says, oh my God, he was shaking and shivering and said, oh Allah, I can't believe it. It's so horrible. I don't think any of your slaves will ever hear about hellfire without doing his best to stay away from it. Allah says, then I am going to cover it with a veil called the veil of temptations. After Allah covered it with temptations, sweet, beautiful, attractive temptations, the guy, Jibreel alayhi salam, I'm sorry, went and looked at the hellfire covered with the veil of temptations and he came back disappointed to Allah and he said, Allah, I don't think anybody would be able to escape that. Temptations are so attractive, just like the butterfly and the fire. You make a fire, as Prophet Muhammad gave an example about himself, he said, your example is the example of butterfly. The butterfly see the fire, they fly towards the fire. They are so attacked and they are so bold towards the fire by their temptation, by an attraction, a special attraction that bolds them towards the fire. Prophet Muhammad said, I am a person who is standing in front of this fire, pushing the butterfly away. Go away! You're flying towards the hell. You're flying towards your destruction. Don't get tempted. Don't get attracted. These are all attractions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to expose Himself to us in the way we have right now. Allah has determined that whatever number of prophets we got is sufficient. Whatever scriptures we have is sufficient. Whatever exposure we can see is sufficient. Allah exposed Himself to us using 99 attributes. And He said, this is enough for you to know about Me, to do your job. Attributes of beauty and attributes of greatness. This is enough to get the job done. And you don't need any more. And if I give you less than that, you will not be able to perform your job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created two books. Among the ways that Allah exposed Himself to us is by creating two books, or giving us two books. The first book is the Holy Quran that exposes to us a lot about Allah. However, there's a problem with the Holy Quran is that only believers of Islam read the Quran. And Allah wants another book readable by every single human being. So Allah created another book called the Book of Created Universe. In the Book of Created Universe, there are ayat, signs of the creations of Allah, that will compel the human mind and makes the human mind unable to deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to appreciate the value of the created book, through which Allah has exposed His power, He has told us that I am Badi'u Samawati wal Amr, I am the most creative one on heavens and earth, I am Al-Khaliq, I am the creator. When Allah is exposing these particular attributes about Himself, He said you can verify them by looking at the Book of Created Universe. To give you an example how powerful is this book, if I ask you, is it possible for a ship to leave the shores of India, arrive at the shores of New York without a remote control, without a captain, without a crew, all by itself like that? And the answer will definitely be no. If I further ask you and say, what if the ship left the shores of India at the exact appointed time, arrived at the shores of New York at the exact appointed time? Would you believe that? You will definitely say no. If you are the same person, you will say no, this is insane, this can't happen. Has to be a crew and the remote control. Then how could you believe that this moon is swimming in this space all by itself, without a remote control, without a captain, without a crew? Which one is easier to control? This little ship or that huge planet? Look at the departure time and the arrival time of the sun. At the exact appointed time calculated, the sun arrives. The best airline on the planet cannot match the accuracy of the arrival time and departure time of the sun. And we have the schedule, we can check them. The sun will never come late at all. Any airline, because it's a man-made human arrangement, can come late, depart late. But the sun never, never comes late. Why? Because it is not our arrangements, it is the arrangements and the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A compelling evidence that shows the power and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go to the museum. We look at a beautiful painting. We say, wow, this artist is so gifted. Look, how beautiful is this painting. Yes, but how about the divine artist, the creator, the creative one of heavens and earth, Allah, who painted that picture not with the cheap colors. He painted the picture with real life material and object. The artist who carves something or an object, he's doing a fake thing. He's just capturing the image and putting some colors. Look at Allah who created a real walking human being who has a heart that beats exactly synchronized with his brain, with his blood, and this huge systems. Very complicated machine, which is the human body. This is a compelling evidence that proves the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one after reading the book of created universe can ever deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Modern science comes further to tell us that this planet that we have right now, this galaxy that we live in right now, which is called galaxy of Darb al-Tabbana, if we know it, this galaxy has 2 billion stars. 2 billion stars. Every star is like the sun that has its own planets, and every planet has its own moons. 2 billion stars. Do you believe it? And scientists so far have discovered 100,000 million galaxies. 100,000 million galaxies were discovered so far. The book of created universe, that this is the exposure that Allah is giving to us. This is not enough? If this is not enough, then what is enough? This is exactly the exposure that Allah decided to give to us, showing Himself to us through His powers and creation. So through the powers and His powers and ability and creation. This is the exposure that we need to perform and do our job. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing us this level of exposure that we need so much in order to do our job on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined that more than this exposure is going to hold us liable to a higher level of responsibility that we cannot rise up to, or is going to confuse us and make us worship the person who got the miracles like what happened with Prophet Isa, or is going to destroy our physical existence like what happened to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And less than this level of exposure, we are not going to be able to conquer our own temptations. Every single attribute of Allah is a tool we can use to conquer specific temptations. If the temptation of selfishness and greed will tempt us to cross the boundaries and to exploit the weak, the name of Allah, the provider, comes. And the ayat that describes Allah as the ones who give you the provisions. And your provision is decreed. If you get it, you will get exactly what Allah has decreed. But you get to choose if you get it the halal way or the haram way. If you don't cross the boundaries, it will come to you as halal. If you cross the boundaries, it will come to you as haram. And we know the famous story of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he trusted a guy to look over his camel. And he went to do a business. When he came back, he found the guy stole the camel. He said, Subhanallah, I swear by Allah that I had an intention to give him the camel as a gift. If he has limited himself to the halal, and he waited until I come, he would have got the same exact camel, but the halal way as a gift. Because his mind is set to cross the boundaries of Allah, he get the same exact camel, but as a haram way. The sustenance is decreed. And Allah just leaves it up to you if you get it the halal way, the haram way. Death is written, and Allah leaves it up to you to choose how do you want to die. You want to die the honorable way, or you want to die the coward way. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, courage does not decrease your life. And cowardness does not increase your life. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, about those hypocrites, when the Prophet was going out to struggle against the Roman Empire, they told their friends, you want to join Muhammad in this struggle and go fight with him? Are you crazy? You're going to be killed. You're going to lose your life. He's a crazy man. He's going against the superpower. You stay here with us. So otherwise you will die. They didn't listen to them and they went with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they struggled with him and really they got killed. So when the army came back, the hypocrites said, قَالُوا لَوْ أَطَاعُونَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا. As Allah reported in Surah At-Tawbah, they said, if they listened to us, they would have not been killed, they would have not died. Allah replied very strongly, قُلْ فَدْرَأُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you really mean what you say, when death comes to you, push it away from yourself. And then he further in the next verse says, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بِيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهُمْ. I swear by my I confirm with my powers that if you are staying in your home and I decree that you die in location X at time Y, you will leave your home and go to location X at time Y to die in the same place that I have decreed. I've decreed it, you get to choose how to do it. The honorable way or not the honorable way. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, and we will conclude by this story. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, once he was sitting in his palace and people were gathered sitting with him. And suddenly, a very weird, strange looking man came into the place, the hall where Prophet Sulaiman is sitting. And this guy looked weird. He had very clean clothes and nobody knows him. He's a stranger. So where did he come from? If he's traveling, then his clothes will be dirty. Anyway, the guy came and he picked one of the people who are sitting with Prophet Sulaiman and he was staring at him in a very irritating and strange way. He was staring at him like this, examining him, touching his body, all over him. And the guy was puzzled. Who's this guy? Then this strange man left. So the guy went to Prophet Sulaiman and said, who was that guy? He said, that was the angel of death checking you out. He said, oh my God, then he's going to take my soul away. Please, Prophet Sulaiman, please order the wind to take me to India. Prophet Sulaiman said, okay. So he ordered the wind to carry him and deliver him to India. Few minutes later, the angel of death came to meet Prophet Sulaiman. Prophet Sulaiman asked him, what happened? What is this whole show about? Why did you do that? He said, Allah told me to go and take his soul from India. I searched the whole earth. I found him sitting with you in Jerusalem. As I was puzzled, how could Allah tell me to go take his soul from India after 5 minutes when he is still in Jerusalem? So I was checking him out to make sure, is that the guy? So what did he do? He asked Prophet Sulaiman to take him to the place of his death. And this is, when we hear these attributes about Allah, then we will not do wicked things to get more money. And we will not feel cowards. We will not be cowards to think that cowardness is going to protect us and increase our life. Indeed, the level of exposure that Allah provided for us is enough for us to do our job. Indeed, many of the slaves of Allah have benefited from such a level of exposure and they were able to do an excellent job. What we lack is not more Qur'ans, is not more prophets, is not more miracles. What we lack is the interest. And this is what we need to work in. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك يا ربي كلمتي الحق والدين. انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين يا رب العالمين. ائذن لشريعتك أن تحكم الدنيا يا كريم. اللهم حكم فينا من قلت عنهم الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المؤمنين المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. تقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء، ادفع عن أحيائهم، فك أسراهم، اشف مرضاهم، وأغن فقراءهم يا رحمن يا رحيم، وفك عنهم الكرب والمحن. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا، ثم ثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، فقال جل من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بثلاث ونهى عن ثلاث: أن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر. 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 الله أكبر